those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That is today's reading. Would you all please take a moment and greet your neighbors?
Good morning, everyone. Oh, come on, we can do better than that. Good morning, everyone. Hey, thank you, thank you, thank you. My name is Tom, and all I can say is wow, wow. I mean, I know you might be complacent coming into this beautiful sanctuary Sunday after Sunday, but as someone who was here on the top of a scaffolding several years ago painting and cleaning out the other side of these lights and moving these 400-ton pews around, let me tell you that this is beautiful, beautiful. And so please, I encourage you to take pride in what God has provided for you. This is a beautiful facility, and I don't know if this is a light crowd or a heavy crowd, and it doesn't matter. You are a church, and you are a family, and you are here today. So praise God for that. I am from East Shore Baptist Church, and we were here for many of the early work days. And we were here for the Christmas Eve service, your very first service. And we even had some men who came for the next year and a half and would come on Mondays and scrub the bathrooms and mop and empty trash just so Brianna and John could focus on what they need to do. So East Shore Baptist Church is invested in Transcend Church. More important than any of that cleaning stuff, we pray for you guys regularly, regularly. So you are not alone. And God bless you, and keep serving, and give God your all here at Transcend. Okay, so turn in your Bibles, if you will, please, to, or your phone, or your tablet, or whatever you're using, turn to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, the book of Isaiah. Now, hopefully you also got an outline when you came in. If you didn't, I'm sure one of the gentlemen in the back will give you one, and we'll use that later on in the sermon. You'll have some fill-in-the-blanks. And at the bottom of that, it has something called HFG questions. That's from our home church, home fellowship groups, and you can use those as you best see fit. Isaiah 40, what a powerful, powerful book. In fact, the book of Isaiah is often called the Bible in miniature. The Bible in miniature, because it has contextual similarities and, to a lesser extent, numerical similarities with the Bible as a whole. Let's look at this next slide. There's a chart, and it's going to compare the Bible to the book of Isaiah. As they're bringing that up, you'll see that there are how many books in the Bible, everybody? 66 books in the Bible, okay? And we know that the Old Testament, there are 39 books, and that's called the Old Testament. And they are kind of historical and prophetic in nature. There's a tone of godly judgment against the Israelites, and deservedly so, because of their rebellious and disobedient hearts. Similarly, the first 39 chapters, not books, but chapters of Isaiah, are historical and prophetic and have a tone of God's judgment. Then we have the last 27 books of the Bible. Of course, we know them as the New Testament, and they are messianic in nature. And they have a tone of comfort talking about Jesus and what he can provide. Similarly, the book of Isaiah, the last 27 chapters, are messianic in nature and talk about the coming Jesus. So there are many similarities between the Bible as a whole and the book of Isaiah. Now, we don't want to get too carried away with the numerical similarities because we know that all those numbers were added later, but you can't deny that both books give us a formula for, not a formula, they give us the answer for dealing with trials in life. And that trial and how to respond to those trials and the answer to that can be found in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. So that's what we're going to look at today. So, speaking of trials, you can go to the next slide. That is exactly what was happening to the Israelites when this book, Isaiah 40, was written. They were coming out of one trial and heading into another trial. So the year was around 538 BC, and they had been in Babylon captivity for 70 years. Why? Because they had disobeyed so much and they kept rejecting God, and he said, enough is enough. And so he let the Babylonian army come in and take them captive. And so they were captive for 70 years. And then through some supernatural events, because we serve a supernatural God, he convinced the new king, the king of Persia, his name was Cyrus, to let the Israelites, or at least those who had the faith to do it, to go home. So after 70 years, several of them, not all of them, but several of them left. But guys, they had to travel from Babylon all the way back to Israel. Babylon today is where modern-day Iran is. So that was 900 miles by foot through enemy territory and enemy lands. And so that was their trial. And as they are starting out, they start to get hungry. They start to get afraid. They start to think God's abandoned him. And they start to complain. And they start to whine, much like you and I do when we're going through a trial. So before we focus on those last two verses that were read, let's look at some of the earlier verses from Isaiah 40 where God is comforting these folks. You will make it through this trip. And he's not only comforting them, he's comforting you and me today in whatever trial we are facing. So look at verse 8. This is a famous verse. In fact, you might have had to memorize it when you were a kid. This is Isaiah 40, verse 8, where God reminds them that his word lasts forever. Verse 8 says, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God stands forever. He will comfort us, guys. He will never disappear from our lives. And then we move on to verse 11, where God reminds the Jews then, and he reminds us today, that he will protect us. He will protect us. Look at verse 11. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. So when God's protecting us, they give this image of Jesus being the shepherd, and you've heard that before, and we are the flock. And when we get lost and when we're in trouble, he protects us. He doesn't pick us up and hold us at arm's length. He doesn't fling us over his shoulder. What does it say in that verse? He holds us close to his heart. How's that for comfort? Whatever trial you're going through right now, God's not holding you here. He's not holding you here. He's got you. He's got you right here. In verses 18 through 20, which I won't read right now, God reminds the people and he reminds us today, nothing compares to me. No idol compares to me. It was crazy what they were doing, folks, back in that day. They'd get a piece of wood. They saw it in half. Half the wood they would use to heat their food. And the other half they would whittle into some statue, try to get it so it wouldn't fall over. And then all of a sudden, it was a god. And they would pray to that wooden statue. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. But of course, we have our own idols today, right? Technology, our own experience, our own self-determination, our own self-reliance. But God is saying none of that compares to him. None of that compares to him. In verse 22, God reminds us that he is great and we are not. He is great and we are not. If you read the end of verse 22, sometimes we get all puffed up as people, but God sits enthroned above us. And when he looks down at us, what do we look like? What does it say in verse 22? Grasshoppers. Grass kind of puts us in our place, but that's also comforting. And then in verses 27 through 29, and I will read these verses, God tells us people that that, and I'm paraphrasing here, but basically God is saying, stop complaining. I'm right here. Listen to 27 through 29. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Guys, I am right here, God is saying. Just open your arms, open your eyes, open your ears, open your heart. I'm right here. And then finally, folks, we get to verses 30 and 31, some of the most powerful verses. And God tells his people that if they will just trust and obey, look what I could do for the Jewish people. Look what I can do for you today. So I know you might not normally do this with Pastor John, but in honor of God's word, can you grab your Bible or your tablet or whatever? And just for two verses, can we stand up? Can we stand up, please, as we read these two verses that we will be focusing on today? Now, my translation might be different than yours, so you just listen and follow along. And let's look at Isaiah 30 and 31. Here's God's word. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will walk and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Dear God, please clear our mind from distractions. Help us to focus on your word here and now for your glory. And everybody said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You may be seated. All right, let's unpack this a little bit. So the first part of 30 says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. Now, sisters in Christ who are here, you need to understand that this is the universal word of young men. It means all humankind will stumble and fall. So even when we are teenagers or young in our 20s and we are the most fit in our life, trials will make us weary. Why? Because there are limits to human endurance. You are not as strong as you think you are. You are not as strong as you think you are. Can we go to the next slide, please, Alan? And one more, buddy. And how about one more? All right, we're going backwards, I think, there, my man. That's all right. That's all right. So he's going to put up a picture in a minute of a boxer that you may recognize. He was my favorite boxer to watch when I was young. Now, he had a lot of stances that I didn't agree with. But in terms of sports and boxing, he was very fun to watch. So here's a quick story about how we're not as strong as we think we are. He was on an airplane once, and he refused to sit down and put on his seatbelt. Now, I don't want to misrepresent him. I'm not saying he was being obstinate or acting like a jerk. He was probably just being Ali and creating a scene because he could create a scene. So I don't want to misrepresent him. But I'm not sitting down. And then finally the steward came up, and she got real close to him, and she said, sir, sit down and put on your seatbelt. And he said, you can't tell me to sit down. Don't you know who I am? I'm Superman. At which point she got right up in his face, probably poked him in the chest, and said, if you were Superman, you wouldn't need an airplane. Now hush up, sit down, and buckle up, which he did. The point of that story is none of us are as strong as we think we are. Next slide, please, Alan. All it takes, folks, is one phone call from the doctor about your test results. And trust me, I've been there. Or a car accident that maybe isn't even your fault. And before you know it, you're facing a trial that money can't buy you out of, a trial in which education can't think you through it, a trial that personal connections can't pull you out of. And you also need to remember that some of the hardest trials in life are not those things that come out of the blue. Some of the hardest trials in life are just the intense pressure of doing life on a daily basis, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, just the pressures of life. So it's in this context today, as they're going through the pressure of traveling from Babylon back to Israel, as we're going through the pressure of whatever is affecting us now, that God gives the Jewish believers the comfort to not only survive trials, now listen to this, the comfort not only to survive trials, but he also challenges us to grow both before, during, and after trials. Okay, he challenges us to grow. So let's look at verse 31. Verse 31. The next slide, please, Alan. All right, very good, very good. So it says, those who wait in the Lord. Now, your version might say, hope in the Lord. Your version might say, trust in the Lord. They all mean the same thing. They all mean the same thing. And if you do that, God will renew their strength. All right? So this is the confident expectation that God's going to provide for you. You don't have to chase after him. You don't have to work harder. You just need to hope and wait and trust in the Lord, and he will provide, and he will provide. Next slide, please, Alan. Let's look at 31b just a little bit closer, which says, they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Oh, man. They will soar and mount up like eagles. Man, we love that image, don't we? We love that image. If you Google this verse, folks, anywhere, there'll always be a picture. Next verse, next slide, please. I'm sorry, Alan. There will always be a picture of an eagle somewhere associated with it, because we just love that image of the eagle. And I've seen folks who have this tattooed on their bodies, this verse tattooed, and there's an eagle, and that's okay. Eagles are beautiful, regal animals. I've seen three of them here in Pennsylvania, two along the river down by Marietta, and one in the middle of the Pennsylvania Grand Canyon. You know, sometimes to experience God's creation, you got to get out there. But we love this image of we love this mounting up over trials. You know, eagles can actually fly over an incoming storm. And so we like that. We like that. And there's nothing wrong with that. Then we have run and not grow weary. Run and not grow weary. Well, we like that too, because that implies action. And we can relate to that. And then finally, the very end of that verse, it says, walk and not grow faint. And when we say faint here, we're not talking about a loss of consciousness. We're talking about lacking strength, lacking courage, lacking perseverance. And so, guys, I got a question for you. Why did God put them in that order? And did he get it backwards, he said facetiously? Because really, I like a crescendo. You know, things that build. Shouldn't it really be walk and not grow faint, run and not grow weary, fly like an eagle? Shouldn't it build up like that? Well, of course, God never makes mistakes. It's in the exact order that God wants it in, because he's trying to show us something. The English term for this is called progress by descent. Progress by descent. In other words, one more slide, please, Alan. The hardest part of this, nope, I'm sorry, back up, buddy, where the last sentence is circled. The hardest part of this verse, there you go. The hardest part of this verse, the one is that is the most difficult to live up to, the goal, if you will, is at the end, not the beginning, and that is to walk and not be faint, to walk and not be faint. And I never looked at it this way before until I started studying this word. You see, of course God wants us to wait and hope and trust in the Lord. And of course he will mount us up like eagles when an unforeseen trial comes in. And of course he will help us run through the thick of a trial when an unforeseen trial comes in. But the ultimate goal of this verse, ladies and gentlemen, is for us to learn to wait, hope, and trust in the Lord, and to walk and not grow faint through the everyday pressures and trials of doing life. The Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Even when we feel at our weakest. So whether you're fighting an addiction or raising kids or a single parent or whatever, This verse is for you about the regular day-to-day pressures of life. And in the middle of those daily pressures, God wants you to walk and not grow faint. See, if you can do that, God will not only allow you to fly higher and to run faster, but most importantly, he wants you to walk longer. Here's the bottom line. As maturing believers, we shouldn't have to have God mount us up on wings like an eagle to face and get through the everyday pressures of life. At some point, through the Lord, we need to grow up and walk in faith. We need to grow up and walk in faith. So, if we look in towards the back of the Bible, there's a book called Hebrews, and there's a chapter in there, chapter 11, called the Faith Hall of Faith. And it has all these famous people who did these very famous things, like Abraham, who started a nation, and Moses, who parted the Red Sea. But it also has people in there just like you and me. And it doesn't even mention their name. They just walked and not grew faint. In fact, Hebrews 11:30 says, "It was by faith the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days, and the walls came tumbling down." You see, the point here is that the greatest heroes of faith are not always the ones who seem to be soaring on eagle's wings. The greatest heroes of faith are not always those who seem to run through a big event and not grow weary. Often the greatest heroes of faith are those who are just walking through life despite the daily obstacles and not growing faint, one step at a time. In fact, there's a Bible commentator who has a name for people like that. Next slide, please, Alan. And he calls them patient plodders. Patient plodders. In fact, this same Bible commentator, he gives them their own beatitude-like proclamation by saying, "Blessed are the plodders, for they will eventually arrive at their destination." How about the next slide, Alan? This is William Carey, folks. He was a British Baptist minister, and he was known as the father of modern missions. And even he embraced the concept of growing spiritually. And his quote is, well, you can read that for yourself right there. He had one thing that God gave him, and that was to persevere one day at a time. So, if we're to grow spiritually in the Lord, by not necessarily these huge leaps, but by taking small, intentional steps, what does it look like? What are these small, intentional steps that can lead us to glorify God on a daily basis, to walk and not grow faint? So we're going to look at 8 areas real quickly, folks, real quickly. But before we do that, the most intentional steps you can ever take in your life is to make sure that you have a relationship and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So what those steps would look like, you take one step that says, "God, I need to have a relationship with you." And you take another small step that says, "But I can't because I'm a sinner." The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And for the wages of sin is death." But then you take another step and say, "But God, I can't have a relationship with you. Not because of what I did, but because of what you did." The Bible says, "But God demonstrated his love for us. And while we were yet sinners, he died for us." And then the last, most important step you'll ever take in your life is to choose that relationship. The Bible says if you confess with your lips, Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that he hath risen from the dead, you will be saved. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, those are the most important steps you'll ever take in your life. It changes everything. For those of you who have accepted Jesus as your Savior, we're going to look at 8 areas where I know you want to do more, but you need to start being more, and I'm talking to myself, you need to be more intentional and to do those things. So if you have the outlines, go ahead and grab those. If not, I'm sure there's extra in the back, and grab a pen or pencil if you will, and let's look at these 8 things. Now, go ahead, Alan. Next slide, please. Excellent, excellent. So here's your first fill-in. These are three things to keep in mind before you start taking these small baby intentional steps for God. Number one, folks, it all begins and ends with prayer. You must pray. You must pray. Nothing will happen in your life in a godly way unless you begin by praying. That is waiting, hoping, trusting in the Lord. Number two, you need to take small intentional steps. Intentional steps. So, what's the opposite of intentional? Unintentional. Lazy. Thoughtlessness. Now, we serve an amazing God, and He is a God of love. But did you know our God is capable of hating? And you know what He hates? He hates evil, and He hates sin. And He hates the status quo. He hates flatlining. He hates stagnation. He hates when you're doing the same dumb things over and over again and not growing for Him. And we're going to try to break that today. And then lastly, remember to celebrate small victories. Small victories. So in a minute, one of the things we'll look at is doing a daily quiet time. Tomorrow's Monday. If you get to Friday and you did daily quiet time 2 days, celebrate it. I did 2 out of 5 days. Because that's 2 more than you did the week before. Small victories. All right, here we go. Here's our 8 things. Next slide. There you go. Good job. Good job. So the first one there, number one, is to have a daily quiet time. In my church, they call it DQT. DQT. Now, on your outline, folks, you'll see 2 little arrows underneath every one of these. That's for you to put down your own small, intentional steps. What are you going to do to be better at this, not for yourself, but for God's glory? Okay, daily quiet time, start small. If you're doing one now, do it better. Do it differently. When I teach Sunday school, I'm a former educator. In fact, I had some of the little Weathersbys in school many years ago. They're not so little now. But one of my favorite techniques was to do a turn and talk, and you turn to your neighbor beside you and talk about something. And we're not going to do that, but right now, if I said, turn to your neighbor and tell them about your daily quiet time, and if the person beside you said, well, I spend a few minutes adoring God every morning, and then I confess my sins, and then I thank Him for things, and then I have prayer lists, and then I do a little reading from the New Testament, the Old Testament. If the person beside you said that to you, would you be embarrassed about your response for your daily quiet time? And I'm not trying to put anybody here on the spot, and it's not a competition, but my point is you need to have a dedicated time to God. And if you're one of those people who say, well, I don't have a dedicated time because I pray all day long. Well, that sounds very nice, and that sounds very pious, but often that's code for I don't have a dedicated time of prayer, and if I think about God during the day and I need something, then I pray. I'm encouraging you to have a daily time of prayer. Get an Open Windows booklet. Folks, it doesn't matter if you start with 1 minute a day of prayer. Start somewhere. Start somewhere. Put the book in the car. Put it in the bathroom. Put it somewhere where you can't ignore it, and start spending time with God. That's one way to walk and not grow faint. Number two, please, Alan. The second one is guarding your eyes. Guarding your eyes. Now, this one pertains not completely, but mostly to men. The statistics will bear this out. But we're talking about looking at pornography and things that you shouldn't be looking at, that you shouldn't be looking at. This has impacted my church, and so we had the men go through something called the Conquer Series to help us with this issue. Several of the men now have something on their smartphones called Covenant Eyes, where it allows an accountability to see the history of where they've been on the internet. Or some of our men have simply memorized Philippians 4:8, which is a great verse to help you control your thought life. Do you guys know that one, Philippians 4:8? And finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. That's the one I use when my mind starts to go places it shouldn't. I say that. It took me months to memorize that verse, by the way. And now when I'm saying that verse, by the time I get to the middle of it, I forgot where my mind was going, and I'm back on God. Number three, please, Alan. Number three, improving relationships. Improving relationships. We need to walk and not grow faint in our relationships. Is there a relative that you haven't reached out to in months because of your pride or a grudge or something like that? Maybe you need to reach out to them. Learn your neighbor's names and their likes and dislikes. If there are any married couples here, keep holy with a lowercase h, keep holy the date nights. And men, that's on you. You should be setting that up, not the lady. Moving on, next one, please, Alan, is your work ethic. Your work ethic. Folks, whether you are, go ahead, Alan, to the next one, buddy. If you are a employee or a student, and I realize you're on vacation right now, but you should be a model student. You should be a model employee if you claim to be a Christian, right? You should not be a pain in the neck to your employer. You should not be a disgruntled student. If you claim to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you should be exemplifying Him and modeling Him wherever you're. You should have the best work ethic that there is. And that all begins with changing your heart. Next one, Alan. Next one. You need to control the tongue. Control the tongue. This is an area where you can walk and not grow faint. So here's my challenge. If you're a teenager here today, I challenge you to go one day, 2 days, 3 days without saying something, posting something, tweeting something that is snarky or mean about someone else. If you're an adult, I challenge you to go a day without giving someone else your unsolicited opinion about what should be done. In other words, just like it came from the Bible, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Controlling your tongue. Baby steps. Baby steps. Next one, please, Alan, and that is to share the gospel. Share the gospel. This is my passion, folks. I could spend 45 minutes talking about sharing the gospel. Okay, but here's a baby way for you to start. Write this down, if you will. Say the 1-2-3 prayer. The 1-2-3 prayer. I challenge you to say it every day. Number one, dear God, please give me an opportunity to share. An opportunity to share. Number two, please give me the wisdom to see that opportunity. The wisdom to see that opportunity. And then number three, and this is the big one, dear God, please give me the courage to take that opportunity. The courage to take. So give me an opportunity, wisdom to see it, and the courage to take it. Folks, if you start praying that prayer, God's going to put somebody in your life. He's going to hand them to you on a silver platter, and you better be ready. And God will get you the opportunity to talk about Jesus with somebody that you thought you never could. I challenge you. Some of you are sitting in here, if you're like me, you've gone 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and you've never shared the gospel once. Start saying this prayer, and God will give you the opportunities. Is it hard? Is it awkward? Yes. But I'd rather get over awkward and point someone towards Jesus than be comfortable and see them go to hell. Next one, Alan. I believe it's our last one. One small way that you can walk and not grow faint is to improve your health. Is to improve your health. Now, as you read this verse, you can see clearly that godliness is more important than everything. Okay, so don't get me wrong. But don't overlook that first sentence. Physical training is of some value. If you are healthy, then you're able to go out and do more for God. And so you need to take small steps to watch your health. I had a buddy of mine. I was real, real sick about 5 years ago and was going through the healing process. I had a buddy of mine put a chin-up bar over the rafters in my garage. And my goal was to be able to do a pull-up, not a chin-up this way where you can use your biceps, but a pull-up this way. Did you know they are really hard? Because you start and everything from here down is dead weight. I mean, usually I'm dead weight from here up, but when you do a pull-up, everything is dead weight. Man, I couldn't even get my toes off the ground. And I thought, this is never going to happen. A year later, I could do one. And now here it is 6 years later, and I can do three. My point is not, yay, Tom. My point is baby steps, intentional baby steps through God. Keep trying. And when someone says to me now, oh, Tom, you look good, because I didn't look so good a few years ago, I immediately turn that back to God and give the glory to Him. Now, before you put away your outline, folks, look back over those eight things, and I'd like you to look at two areas where you need to start walking and not growing faint, and just circle those. Two areas where you need to walk and not grow faint, and just pick one tiny intentional baby step that you can do so you can get closer to God. And remember, as we're doing these steps, we're doing them full of confidence, okay? So not like this, I guess I'll do daily quiet time today. No, chin up, confident. God, please help me to remember today to do it. Dear God, one more day. And just one foot in front of the other. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be. We're not asking you to save the world. Just take small, intentional steps to glorify God, because He doesn't want you to have to count on Him to carry you over a storm or run you through. He wants you to grow so that you can walk and not grow faint. And if you do that, you'll have these words ringing in your heart. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. At this time, I'll ask Ed to come on up, and you can close in song however you normally do. If you're here today and you haven't taken those steps, asking Jesus into your heart as Savior, please see Ed or Dave or any of the folks here, and they will tell you how to have that saving faith in Jesus Christ. Or if you just need to recommit, and Lord, in these two areas, I'm going to start walking for you. Why? Because He is worthy. Amen.